Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome back to the Locked On Bucs podcast, brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, and you're going to receive 15% off your next order. I am James Yarko, joined as always by David Harrison. You can find everything that we are doing over at BucsNation.com as well as WTSP.com. Make sure you follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JYarko_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. We'd like to welcome in all of our new and returning listeners. If you're new to the show, please subscribe, leave a five-star review. It helps other Buccaneers fans find us.
All right, kicking off this week here with a little bit of fun. Last week, we if you didn't catch the final two episodes of the week, please go back and check those out, because we fleshed out our really, really early prediction of the 53-man roster for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But as we went to find out, it's actually really not that early to do it, because a lot of the spots are already spoken for, you know, pending injury and stuff like that, which, of course, you don't wish on anybody. But check those out, because here today on this episode, we're going to finalize that exercise. We left one spot open on the roster for a potential free agent. James and I hit the research boards, hit Google, hit Pro Football Reference, all that stuff, and we've come back with our nominees for a free agent that we think could impact the roster in 2021 and could actually legitimately become a Tampa Bay Buccaneer if they decide to go that route. And we have a voicemail from a listener, James, who also wanted to get in on the festivities. And then to wrap up today's episode, we're going to go over some Pro Football Focus positional rankings. They're doing that for the upcoming 2021 NFL season. And as much of a fan as I am of Pat McAfee, I know you are a huge fan of PFF, so we have to go through that. We're going to talk about their wide receiver rankings and see where the Buccaneers wide receivers stack up according to PFF in the National Football League. But James, first things first, you talked about a report or speculation coming from Pro Football Talk from Mike Florio, right, about Antonio Brown to end last week's episode, or last week's slate of episodes there. And according, for those who haven't heard it yet, do me a favor, refresh the report before I give my response, because I definitely wanted to chime in there.
Okay, so basically, I'll sum it up as fast as I can here. Bruce Arians was on the Pewter Report podcast. They asked him about Antonio Brown. He said Antonio Brown's got to pass a physical. He was going to have a procedure done on his knee. He's excited to have Antonio Brown back. He likes having Antonio in the building, likes what he can do for the offense, but he's got to pass the physical in order to sign the contract. Well, Mike Florio comes out and says, you know what? The Buccaneers may not want Antonio Brown to pass his physical, because if he fails the physical, they can back out of the agreement in order to feature Jalen Darden in the offense and get out of bringing Antonio Brown in.
Yeah, so you gave a response to that report, or not? It's not a report. I keep saying report, but it's speculation, right? It's basically just a brainchild of Mike Florio during the offseason, during a slow quote-unquote news time, which is weird to me because he doesn't cover just the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He covers all sports, and especially the National Football League, right? I mean, he isn't pigeonholed into one team the way that, like, say, the Locked On Bucs podcast is. Like, I mean, we can talk about, like, the Aaron Rodgers saga, right? But, I mean, we can't get too in-depth about it or dedicate even an entire week to it, because there's no way the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are trading for Aaron Rodgers in 2021. That's just not going to be a thing that happens, so it doesn't make any sense for us to talk about it. But he's not boxed in by that. He can talk about literally everything happening in the National Football League, and not for nothing, but right around the same time he's talking about this, the Washington Football Team is announcing that they're building a brand new state-of-the-art stadium, while Jason Wright, team president and owner Dan Snyder, are literally touring the NFL's most up-to-date, most modern stadiums in the entire league, including the Las Vegas Raiders stadium just recently at the end of last week, because basically they're going through and saying, what do you have? Because we want to make ours even better than what you're doing. Like, that's a story you can talk about that actually has a little bit of meat to it, a little bit of excitement to it, because they're trying to move back into D.C., whereas right now they operate in Virginia, play in Maryland. Anyway, so if you have the opportunity to expand your scope, why are you focusing on this? Because this is a non-story, and it's stupid. Like, it's honestly just idiotic to think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers secretly don't want Antonio Brown back. So here's what they did to cover up the tracks that they don't want him back. They offered him a contract when they didn't have to. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, he wasn't on the roster. They have a loaded roster of wide receivers. Like, without Antonio Brown, you have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, Tyler Johnson, and whoever you decide to draft. So you have those four receivers, and you got Gronk, and you have O.J. Howard coming back, and you have Cam Brate, who played clutch down the road for you. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not desperate for weapons. So there's no reason for them to fake the funk and offering Antonio Brown a contract and to have multiple, like, that's the thing too. The Buccaneers made multiple offers to Antonio Brown over the offseason, which means they had multiple conversations. Like, if they didn't want him, they could have simply said, well, we made our offer, he didn't want it, so we're moving on, and let it be done. And nobody would have blamed them. And I know where everybody's going to go with this. Well, if Tom wants it back, Tom gets what Tom wants. Listen, Jason Light has already said it. Tom Brady's already said it. Bruce Arians has already said it. That is not the way this operation is running. And, okay, maybe behind the scenes, could there be a little bit more Tom Brady influence that people want to admit? Okay, yeah, maybe. But guess what the Buccaneers have that Tom Brady doesn't? They have the control of public opinion. Because if all of them are sitting here saying the same message, Tom Brady can't then come out and be like, well, I wanted Antonio Brown, you guys didn't sign him, so now I'm mad at you, without blowing up that whole dynamic. Why would he do that at this stage in his career, at this stage in the game? Why would Tom Brady even go that, like, this, the ridiculousness of this and the layers of how ridiculous this can possibly get are absolutely astronomical. And not only that, James, but you know what happens when you have a contract agreement with a player that fails a physical? The contract is null and void. The offer is null and void. So if they really didn't want to sign Antonio Brown, all they got to do is say, hey, AB, we need to get you on the books. Get in here for this physical, buddy. And he's like, guys, you know I can't pass this. They're like, yeah, we have faith in you. Come on in. And he goes, well, I can't do this because I'm not ready to. Like, oh, so failed physical designation and good luck in your future. Thank you. Is that what we're doing? Like, if the Bucks wanted to do this, he's already done it. Like, if you're incapable of taking the physical and they need you to take the physical as a parameter of sealing this contract, you are now a failed physical designation and the contract can be null and void. Just like that. So, absolutely ridiculous. So, I wanted to take the opportunity to respond to it because I liked your response, but I wanted to add just a little bit of extra layers to it or whatever. And then, James, there was a would you rather that you went ahead and answered, which I was very upset about. Remind me what it was, though, because I also want to answer it real quick.
Would you rather never have to stand in another line again, or every light that you come to while driving is green?
I would rather have every light be green.
Yes,
that is the correct answer. Yeah, because drivers are like every single person on the face of the planet, I think, has the ability to be a good person. But for some reason, as soon as we enter a vehicle, like, all the goodness in us just seems to depart our souls and waits until we stop driving. So the faster I can get through my trip and the faster I can get off the road, the better for everybody involved. So yes, all green lights all the time.
All right. Well, we are going to dive into some continued free agent options to sign away that final roster spot that we left open last week. But first, we have some new friends to talk about. And David, I am so excited to talk about our friends over at Credit Karma. Who doesn't want instant gratification? If you're looking for satisfaction, there's no need to wait. With Credit Karma money, you could win at cash reimbursements for debit purchases. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Real quick story, I have a Credit Karma Money account. The very first thing that I purchased was a $200 piece of equipment for our podcasting and my home office. No lie, as soon as I purchased it, I got the instant karma and the $200 reimbursement of my purchase. This is not a joke. I've received the instant karma at least a dozen times now. It's fantastic. All you have to do is pay with your debit card. And if you win, you're going to be notified on the spot and your instant karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning instant karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated, member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
second two here at Locked On Bucks Podcast, kicking off the week. And James, I appreciate you basically saying very little there in segment one, allowing me the soapbox to respond to Mike Florio. And you know, listen, the guy is a grinder. He does a lot of work. Not a fan of some of the things that he puts out there, and that's just one of them. And again, I don't feel like it's necessary. But if he's doing it for reactions, I mean, here we are dedicating not one but two segments to his comments. So I guess it's working. So I guess the joke is on us. But we also went out and did some speculating, right, recently, and that, of course, was our early prediction of the 53-man roster, which we nailed down pretty much all the way to the T, except we only left 52 people on the roster, leaving one spot open, and then we each set out over the weekend to find our free agent preference from the available free agents still sitting out there from the National Football League and who we might want to add to the roster. But we also asked our listeners to participate, and we did get one of those who wanted to take the time, do the research. They called in, so let's listen in to their response now.
Hey, guys. This is Cam from Southern California. In regards to what free agent we should sign, two guys that pretty similar in my mind, Bashaud Breeland and Steven Nelson. Breeland, meeting with a couple teams, met with the Vikings most recently, so we'll see if he's signed by the time you guys record. But I think just getting another, a veteran corner, someone to plug into there. You know, Davis is developing well, and, the guys that we have, I think, are doing well. But both those guys are pretty solid, if not above average, man coverage corners, which I think would be really good for us to have. I think the Bulls scheme, a lot of blitzing, all that stuff, would do well adding in one of them. Essentially, to me, it's whichever one would come cheapest. They're pretty similar in my mind. So, that's what I'm thinking. Right.
Cam, thank you very much for the call. And David, I will be completely honest. Bashaud Breeland is one of the guys that I looked at for my selection for the free agent spot. I would like that addition. I don't think he's going to be super expensive, but he may be just expensive enough to take him out of the market for the Buccaneers. I think he would be great depth for the cornerbacks. He seems to be a guy that's continuously underpaid and overperforms his contract. But the way I looked at it was I thought the cornerback room was pretty well set. We had some solid depth there. We had the starters. So I kind of veered away from Breeland because I was like, you know what? We don't need somebody else at the cornerback spot.
Yeah, I also looked at Bashaud. I mean, Bashaud Breeland's a guy that when he came available, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago, I was actually a fan of the Buccaneers bringing him in at the time. Since then, they've kind of fleshed out their cornerback room. I still like Bashaud Breeland. I just don't think Bashaud Breeland is looking to be like the fourth guy on a roster. He's looking for a chance to be the second or the third at the worst. I honestly think he's looking for a one or a two spot. Like, he wants to be on the field, you know, to take a little bit of opinion from Shaquille Barrett. He wants to be on the field to begin the game, and he wants to be on the field to end the game. So I don't know that Bashaud, you know, what he's looking for and what the Buccaneers would be looking for in a veteran cornerback really match up. So I don't know that fit would be there. But I do like Bashaud Breeland. And I mean, hey, if he's willing to come in and be a fourth guy in the cornerback room, I'd be more than happy to have him.
Yeah, and I mean, God forbid something happened to one of these starters in training camp. But if Jamel Dean, you know, were to go down with an injury, again, I'm not wishing that upon him, but, you know, things do happen. Breeland is the first guy that I'm calling if they need to fill a spot for a starter. So, David, I'm going to go ahead and give my free agent spot. And I looked over our roster again, and there was one area that I thought we were a little thin and could use some help. And this is a guy that could come in. He would be affordable. He has underperformed since being drafted in the first round back in 2017. And he's going to be inexpensive, not only because of the lack of production that was expected, but he's coming off of a major injury.
Yeah, he sure is.
Bringing Malik Hooker from the worst college in the nation, that would be that disgusting school in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah.
That would be a phenomenal depth move, because I think if any coaching staff can get this guy to play to the level that he was expected to play when he was drafted, it would be under Todd Bowles with this defense. And again, coming off that injury, coming off of underperformance, he's not going to be an expensive choice. I think he's worth the flyer to bring him in and see what they can make happen.
I just knew that you were going to go after Malik Hooker. Yeah, that's where you were going to go, which is why I had a backup ready, because Malik Hooker was absolutely the guy that I wanted to add to this roster if we had the opportunity. And listen, if you look him up, he's going to be listed as a free safety, right? And that's really the role he played with Indianapolis when he was healthy.
Yeah.
That's the role he played most of the time at Ohio State. But what he does is he does a little bit of everything. He's versatile, and that's what you want in a defensive player if you're Todd Bowles, because every single player basically on this defense is versatile and can do many, many different things. You see Devin White blitz from the middle or from the around the outside, you know, JPP dropping back in coverage and getting an interception. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of players on this team. I'd say probably Vita Vea is the only guy that really can't do a little bit of everything, but he does what he does really, really well. So that's okay. You can live with that. But Malik Hooker, the only thing I would disagree with you on what you said is that Malik Hooker has absolutely, in my opinion, played to the level he was expected to play when he was on the field, and that's the big problem, and that's where he under delivered on his stock, is because of the injuries and because of his lack of playing time. I mean, you look at two of his three seasons, he combined to play in 9 total games in those 2 seasons. So I mean, that's a significant amount of time lost. But when he's on the field, you see all the talent that made Malik Hooker a first round draft pick. And he's the kind of guy that when he's lined up on the field, if you've got him and you've got Antonio Winfield Jr. and you've got, you know, Jordan Whitehead on the field in some sort of a package, no matter what movement happens on the field, you literally as a defense can stand pat in what you're doing. And now the opposing quarterback has no idea what defense you're about to run. And that gives you the ultimate upper hand as a defense. So, James, my love for Malik Hooker goes a lot deeper than yours.
True that.
But I also have love for another guy, and that is Dede Westbrook. And ooh, I love our wide receiver group. And even if Antonio Brown comes back, honestly, I want to bring Dede Westbrook in here. And before you come at me and say Dede Westbrook is not going to be the 5th wide receiver on any roster, listen, this young fellow is coming off of an ACL tear 6 months ago. So he doesn't have a whole lot of, opportunity to say, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do only that. Not only that, but he's going to come into a squad that's a lot different than the Jacksonville Jaguars squad he was playing with. And you know how he's going to know that? Because Leonard Fournette, one of his best friends on that team when they were in Jacksonville together, is going to tell him that. And you know who's going to tell him to go ahead, put his ego in check, and do what's best for his career? Jalen Ramsey, another one of his best friends from their time in Jacksonville, who went to Los Angeles as a cancer to the locker room, has become one of the principal leaders of that Los Angeles Rams team. Both of those guys will tell Dede Westbrook to put his ego in check and to come to Tampa and contribute no matter how he can. Immediately fixes your return game problems and adds a 5th receiver that really could be a 3rd receiver on a lot of teams. And now you have the ultimate ability to play at all 3 levels if you're the Buccaneers offense.
My only argument to that, I love Dede Westbrook. Love Dede Westbrook. We already had 6 receivers on this roster heading into this free agent spot. So how are you gonna justify that 7th receiver, or are you getting rid of somebody?
Jalen Darden's going to the practice squad.
Yikes!
What's happening?
But he's the guy that they traded up for, and they're hoping Antonio Brown fails his physical so they can feature him.
That
David
is not true, James. Well, what is true is that Built Bar has 9 delicious flavors, and anytime you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're going to be passionate about their favorites. James, if I told you that mint brownie was the worst Built Bar of them all, you would come through this Zoom conference and attack me with a fierce aggression that you only see when Macho Man Randy Savage used to snap it into a Slim Jim. But I'm not going to say that, James, because mint brownie is also one of my favorites. Peanut butter brownie is also one of my favorites. Most of these Built Bars have 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, and only 4 grams of net carbs. But there are some that are a little bit less effective on the macros. Those have 18 grams of protein with just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, and then 5 grams of net carbs. So even if you're going on the lower end of the macros at Built Bars, you're getting 9 amazing flavors, all of them tasty and all of them healthy. If you want to get in on the action, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com.
wrapping things up here on a Monday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast. And is everybody ready to get angry?
Yes, I'm ready to get angry.
Okay. Now, see, you made the joke at the beginning of the show that you love Pat McAfee and I love Pro Football Focus. There is no way on God's green earth that you despise Pat McAfee the way I despise Pro Football Focus.
I don't despise Pat McAfee at all. I'm just not as big a fan of him as you are.
Okay, well, for those that are still holdouts and that like Pro Football Focus, your opinion's about to change because they released their 2021 wide receiver rankings, and they are as follows. Number one, Davante Adams from the Packers, of course. Number two, Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins. Number three, the Chiefs, Tyreek Hill. Number four, the Bears, Allen Robinson. Number five, the, for right now, Falcons, Julio Jones. Number six, the Titans, A.J. Brown. Number seven, the Saints, Michael Thomas. Number eight, the Bills, Stephon Diggs. Number nine, and number 10, a pair of receivers out of Minnesota, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson. Number 11, Calvin Ridley from the Falcons. Before we finally get to Mike Evans at number 12 from the Buccaneers. And this is what they had to say about Mike Evans. Injuries derailed a portion of Evans' 2020 season, which ended up being the lowest graded campaign of his 7-year career. Still, he finished as the 18th most valuable wide receiver, according to PFF WAR, which means wins above replacement. And he partnered with Tom Brady for the 11th most 15-plus yard receptions at the position in regular season play with 27. Ranked at number 13, we have Chris Godwin. Like Evans, Godwin endured an injury-riddled 2020 campaign that played a part in him recording the lowest-graded season of his 4-year NFL career, but we mustn't forget what he accomplished before that. Godwin has been the 13th most valuable wide receiver and one of the 10 highest-graded players at the position since first stepping foot on the field for Tampa Bay as a third-round pick in 2017. Rounding out the top 15, the Cowboys, Amari Cooper, the Seahawks, DK Metcalf, and then we have Antonio Brown coming in at number 24. Now, look, I'm going to make this quick, and I'm going to kick it over to you. There is zero reason Mike Evans should not be in the top 10. He's better than Julio Jones is at this stage of Julio's career. Julio is one of the greatest wide receivers we are ever going to witness in the game of football, but his injuries have plagued him. He is not the receiver he once was. Mike Evans is a better receiver today than Julio Jones is today. A.J. Brown, no. I'm not even going to justify this with a response. Just absolutely not. Michael Thomas, let's see how he does without a Hall of Fame quarterback throwing him the ball, because Mike Evans has had 1,000 yards every season, no matter who is throwing him the ball, whether it's Tom Brady, Jameis Winston, Josh McCown, Mike Glennon, or Ryan Fitzpatrick. Diggs, I'm fine with. Thielen, I'm fine with. Justin Jefferson, it's too early. But yeah, Mike Evans not only deserves to be in the top 10, he might actually, and I might keep him outside the top 5, but he is the best receiver in the NFC South.
Yeah, so this is the problem you run into when media outlets create the story, you know what I mean? And PFF, like you look at it in their descriptions of these players and why they ranked them where they did. They're using their own evaluation criteria, you know, to do that. And I got it. Like, everybody uses their own criteria to evaluate players. Like, I'm not going to look at a player and evaluate them based off of what James Jarko thinks a wide receiver should be. But when you take it to the point where you're grading people on a scale that nobody knows, that you came up with on your own, nobody knows how to substantiate it, proof it, whatever, check against it, and then you then turn that into another story. Like, again, this is literally a media entity making a story out of a story that they already created to create a story. Like, it's layers upon layers upon layers. And so it really just kind of depends on how you look at the wide receiver position, because not for nothing, but like Tyreek Hill, right? The game he had against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers alone, that score, those grades that he got from that game alone, when you talk about laws of averages and everything else, is going to elevate him on top of some of these other players. You look at A.J. Brown and the usage rates and the stats and all that stuff. When you're the only option for a team, you know what I mean, that doesn't have a lot of receiving ability in it and passing game ability, your information, your stats or whatever you want to call it, are going to be inflated. And then you look at Mike Evans, who, not for nothing, But this is where I look at the value of a wide receiver. Mike Evans had three games in 2020 that if you combine those stats, he had 14 yards. 14 yards total in three games. The Buccaneers were 2-1 in those three games. Why? Because the defense was paying so much attention to Mike Evans that other players like Chris Godwin, like Antonio Brown was a part of it, like Scotty Miller, like Rob Gronkowski even, were able to eat and feast on these defenses in those games. One of those came against the Green Bay Packers where he had 10 yards, and that was it in a blowout win against one of the best teams in the National Football League. So that's what I look at. Then you look at a guy like Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill's a one-trick pony. He's not a unicorn. He's a one-trick pony. He's not even a horse. That's all that Tyreek Hill has. Two things: short passes that he gets blockers for and then burns down the field, or burns down the field to catch the deep pass. That's Tyreek Hill. There's no in between. So as far as I'm concerned, Tyreek Hill is one of the least talented wide receivers in the National Football League. He's super fast, and that's pretty much what he's got going for him. Don't get me wrong, it's effective. I'm not saying he's not productive, but you talk about talent, DeAndre Hopkins clearing away the most talented wide receiver in the National Football League, and that's kind of where I'm going to leave that. Julio Jones, again, this is a 2021 ranking, right, as you pointed out. The team he's on doesn't even want him anymore. How are you going to be a top five wide receiver in the National Football League if your own team doesn't? And don't give me the Atlanta's looking at the future thing. If they were looking at the future, they wouldn't have drafted Kyle Pitts, okay? The Atlanta Falcons are trying to win today as much as they're trying to win tomorrow. Julio Jones is not a part of that equation, reportedly, for them. So if you aren't the part of the valuation of your team winning in 2021, you are not a top five wide receiver in 2021. I love Julio Jones, but this list is garbage.
Yeah, and there's absolutely zero excuse for both Falcons receivers to be ranked above both of the Buccaneers receivers. And the last thing that I'm going to say on it is Antonio Brown at 24. At first, I thought it might have been a little bit high, honestly, but you started naming some of the other guys that were ahead of him. And though those guys have the potential to be better than Antonio Brown, I would still take Antonio Brown over them today. Take what you will from AB. He may have lost a half of a step. He's not the burner that he used to be. He is still one of the most elite route runners in the National Football League, and the Bucs are going to use that to their advantage, just like they did against the Kansas City Chiefs on that touchdown pass where he improvised his route and left Tyrann Mathieu out to dry. So with that, David, we're going to get out of here. But make sure that all of you are getting more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can check out everything David and I are doing over at BucksNation.com and Monday through Friday over at WTSP.com, working with 10 Tampa Bay. And it's been absolutely fantastic. Love working with those guys down there. Of course, you can follow along on Twitter at LockedOnBucks, at JArco_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Bucks_Nation. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, wash your hands, be good to each other, and go Bolts. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.